Are you guys ready to receive the word from Bob this morning? Amen. And Pastor John, and you know, the theme of the year has been drawing closer to God. And there's so many different ways that we do that. And if you don't know by now, that's what we're pushing, that, you know, we all have, there's different aspects in our relationship with Christ. It's getting into the word. It's out witnessing on the street. It's prayer. It's worship. It's giving of our time. It's giving of our finances. There's all different types of things that come in that circle of drawing closer to God. And so Bob is going to continue on in that theme here today, and I'm not going to give away his message, but we're going to pray for Bob.
Don't give anything away.
I won't give up. We'll give you away, but nobody will take you. All right, we're going to pray for our brother, because he is, you know, one thing I appreciate about Bob, he really loves the Word. He gets into the Word, and he wants to, when he steps up here, I know his heart is not just to give you, you know, something that Bob Cassidy has thought of, but it's because he studied the Word and prayed about it and really felt the leading of the Spirit of God. So let's pray and ask God just to move. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for today. We thank you,
Lord,
for all that's occurring in our lives, in this church, in our communities. We thank you that you're moving in Detroit and the entire Downriver area. Lord, all over the world, we see your hand. And Lord, though we don't hear reports all the time, by faith we trust that your church is continually moving and the gates of hell will not prevail against it.
Yes.
Now, Father, we lift up our brother Bob to you today as he brings forth from your holy word. I pray that our ears are attentive, our hearts are responsive, and our wills will be broken by it. Father, bless him, and we ask the Spirit of God to move upon him in might and in power. And Lord, may he bring it forth as it truly is, the word of God. And we thank you. We're ready to receive it in Jesus' name, and we all said, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. You know, Pastor Don sometimes thinks I don't listen to him, but I do. He always tells me that, Bob, and anybody that's ever taught here any type of class, I'm sure you've heard Pastor Don say this, that, Bob, whatever you teach on, you're going to live it out. Whatever you're teaching on that week, you're going to be walking it out. Now, Kenny back there, in his wisdom, likes to talk about trials. John Clinton likes to talk about tribulations. You know, I'm not the smartest cookie in the jar, but I figured today I'm going to talk about blessings. You laugh, but honestly, I am. And the reason for that is, what do we know about blessings? Is it something that we really have ever took a good look at, a good study of? And why did I choose blessings? Like Pastor John and Don just said, that all this year, the theme has been what? Fred, what's been our theme this year? Getting closer to God. Amen. Now look, we're not going to get closer to God without getting a blessing. That's not the reason that we're doing it, but that should happen. If we get closer to God, we should be blessed. Everybody agree with that? All right. So I thought today that I would take a look at blessings. Is that something that we look at very often or think about? Something that I want, though. Does everybody here want blessings? All right. Now, first thing to remember about blessings is it's not a choice. God tells us there's no neutrality. Jesus said this very often. There's no neutrality in God's kingdom. He said, you're either for me or against me. The same way with blessings. There's only two choices. Either you're blessed or you're cursed. There's no middle ground. Well, you know, I just want to neither be blessed or neither be cursed. I'm just going to go about my business, not worry about God, Satan, none of, you know. I don't want anything to do with those. It doesn't work that way. Not at all. You do not have a choice of being neutral. There's door A and door B. You're going to be blessed or you're going to be cursed. And when you're blessed all the time. Your life is blessed. And when you're cursed all the time, and your life is cursed. It's not like going to, what's that, the Golden Corral, where it's a smorgasbord. You can't choose the area to be blessed in and cursed in. Well, I'll take a piece of ham and be blessed there. Well, I don't like spinach, so I'm just going to go to take that curse. It doesn't quite work like that. Personally, since there's only two choices, blessed or cursed, I think I'll choose blessings. You agree with me? All right, we're all on the same page. It's good to see you back, Esther. Everybody give Esther a hand. She's been gone for a while. It's good to see you back there. All right, poor lady sits in front of my wife and I. We're always poking her, bothering her. How we handle a blessing says a lot about us. How many times have we heard someone turn down a blessing? Anybody here ever turned down a blessing? You'd be surprised we do that. Oh, I don't want that. No, thank you. Oh, you know. Is it because we're humble? Oh, no, I don't need a blessing. I'd rather bless you because I personally don't need a blessing. Look at me. I'm blessed. I don't care how blessed you are. You can always use another one. And turning down a blessing is not a sign of humility. It's a sign of rebellion or pride. You know, there's a lot of people that have problems receiving, but are the greatest givers in the world. We all know people like that. They love to give, but they're hard at receiving things. They're the kind of people, if you buy them a present, instead of just saying thank you, they're going to run out and give you a present the next day. You have to remember, if you can't receive a blessing, you can't give one. How can you give something you can't receive? You can't. It's an honor to be blessed by God, or anyone that's sitting in here. When I was, just after I got out of the hospital, my operation here 6 months ago, 6 months it's been since I've had my operation. Everything is going good. Praise God. But I remember coming home and had all kind of mantle, coffee tables all full of get well cards. And that was a real blessing. Just to see that, you know, people were thinking about you. That my family, like Pastor John says, this is our family. This is first family. We got a second family, but really this is the first family. Right here. And it blessed me to get those. Now, what was I going to do? Send them back? I don't need a get well card. God's going to take care of me. No, thank you very much for those cards. I was very blessed. So I think we might need to take a look at blessings. Just how we receive them, what they are even. There's two different kinds or two different categories that we can put blessings in. And that is physical blessings and spiritual blessings. There's a difference. Where's Wendy? Wendy, stand up. I'm going to embarrass Wendy. She's going to be my example here. Let me give you an example of, you don't mind, do you, Wendy? That's all right, I didn't care anyway. I'd already told her earlier that I was going to ask her to stand up, that I wanted to use her as an example. Now, everybody should be honored to be used as an example of blessings, right? Wendy, everybody knows Wendy and the stories of her life and her husband, Marty. A physical blessing was Wendy wanted to quit her job and to be a full-time mom, and some other projects she was working on, writing a book. She just didn't have the time to do it. The job that her husband was at wasn't quite enough to provide. So they were praying for two things. They were praying that Marty would receive a new job and that she would be able to quit. Did both of those things happen? Yes. Now, those are two physical blessings, and they're great things. But now an example of spiritual blessings in their life. Many times we all know her story that her and her husband were divorced, but God brought them back together and restored their marriage. Is that great? Amen. That is a spiritual blessing. Where's your kids at today? They're out of school? Okay. They were also blessed their second time around, and 18 years from their other children, I think, they were blessed with two new children. Now, that's a spiritual blessing. Our children are a spiritual blessing from God. All right, thank you. So it does, there is a difference, but they're both great. Let me ask you a question. Which one of those do you think will last? Say that again. Spiritual? Okay. Everybody agree with that? Sarge won't even look. He's just looking. I ain't going to say nothing. I know I'm going to be wrong. I ain't going to say nothing. We'll see. Let's take a look. What's the Word of God say? I don't know. Let's take a look. Before we go to that, let me ask you one more question on blessings. Do all blessings come from God? Do all blessings come from God? Not necessarily. Just as if you remember when Moses started doing miracles, or God was doing the miracles, not Moses, forgive me, the court sorcerers were able to counterfeit, the first three or four of them? The enemy can always counterfeit what is good. And sometimes actually convince us that something he's giving us is a blessing. And there's plenty of examples. You may think you've been blessed with a job. Oh, I got this great job offer, Bob. Only work 3 days a week. Wednesday, Sunday, and Thursday. Anytime there's a church meeting, I can't be here though, Bob. But, God's blessing me. Oh, I got this great word that I don't want to, but this guy told me I should leave my wife. That'd be a real blessing. Sounds stupid. Believe me, you hear some of these things. Of course, that's not a blessing. But sometimes we get some prophetic words that are not prophetic, they're pathetic. People give us bad advice that doesn't come from God. Sends us absolutely in the wrong direction, right? Thinking it's a blessing and trying to walk it out when it isn't. That's when the spiritual antennae need to come up through the Holy Spirit, that we know what is a real blessing and what is the enemy simply trying to put something in our way. Because he hates you. He wants to stop you. As long as you're being effective, like Pastor John was saying and like Anthony was saying, going out witnessing, bringing other people into the kingdom, he hates you. He wants to do anything and will do anything to stop you from doing that. Right? But we don't let that happen because we serve a God that's a lot more powerful than Satan. He created him. He was just a fallen angel. Right? It's the power within us that we can resist him. So I thought today I have a little story here that I'd like to read. I usually like to read a story out of the Word and it kind of break it down because every story in there has a reason that it's in there and a story to tell behind the story we see on the surface. In talking about blessings, I think this will be an excellent story that we can take a look at, and it tells us a lot about what blessings are, what blessings aren't, and how we get them. Should we get them? Why do we get them? These are all questions we need to ask. If you have your handy-dandy Bibles, turn to them. If not, do we have it up there? We will in a minute. Luke 16, verse 19 through 31. The rich man and Lazarus, right? There was a rich man who was dressed in purple and fine linen and lived in luxury every day. At his gate was laid a beggar named Lazarus, covered with sores and longing to eat what fell from the rich man's table. Even the dogs came and licked his sores. Then time came when the beggar died, and the angels carried him to Abraham's side, paradise. The rich man also died and was buried. In Hades, where he was in torment, he looked up and saw Abraham far away with Lazarus by his side. So he called to him, "Father Abraham, have pity on me and send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue because I am in agony in this fire." But Abraham replied, "Son, remember that in your lifetime you received your good things, while Lazarus received bad things. But now he is comforted here and you are in agony. And besides all this, between us and you, a great chasm has been set in place, so that those who want to go from here to you cannot, nor can anyone cross over from there to us." He answered, "Then I beg you, Father, send Lazarus to my family, for I have five brothers. Let him warn them, so that they will not come to this place of torment." Abraham replied, "They have Moses and the prophets. Let them listen to them." "No, Father Abraham," he said, "but if someone from the dead goes to them, they will repent." He said, if they do not listen to Moses and the prophets, they will not be convinced even if someone rises from the dead." Did Jesus rise from the dead? Does everybody believe in him? But I think this is a great story on how to look at blessings. God is using this story to illustrate what a real blessing is. Let me ask you a question again. Does it seem fair that Lazarus got what he got and the rich man got what he had? Does it seem fair that that man had to lay there as a beggar even though he served God? Well, the man that did not serve God seemed to have everything. Does that seem fair? If we asked the Lord this, what do you think he'd say? You know what he'd say? "I don't care. I don't care." Turn to Ecclesiastes 8:14. Ecclesiastes 8:14. "There is something else meaningless that occurs on earth. The righteous who get what the wicked deserve, and the wicked who get what the righteous deserves. This too, I say, is meaningless." It's meaningless because of what? The short time that Lazarus was a beggar, and the short time in the entire scheme of things that the rich man enjoyed what he has. I love Kenny's rope, that little blue tape on a 12,000-foot rope or something, showing us what our time is here on earth is nothing. It's what's after that makes the biggest difference. And that's what God is saying here. All eternity compared to a little bit of fun and pleasure now. Is it worth it? No. That's why. But though too in Proverbs 10:6-7, it says, "Blessings crown the head of the righteous." So righteousness is good, and crowning is, we do receive righteous things. We do receive blessings, the righteous do. But that's not what we're doing this for. That's not what we boast on. I boast on Jesus Christ, right? If I wanted to boast on anything, I'd boast that I'm going to heaven. Not that I might have a new car or something like that. You can't take that with you. In Matthew 25:46, "Then they will go away to eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life." That's what makes the difference. That's what God is saying, going to be saying throughout his word. That it's not the things here that make the difference. Not that he's not going to give you good things. It's just you're not going to take them with you. What difference does that make? How many funerals have you ever been to with a moving van and a Brinks truck behind it? You can't take it with you. Even the great pharaohs, remember, built all these great tombs and stuff. Probably went in there 2 days and they were robbed, weren't they? It's what comes after that makes a difference. It's a righteous man that's going to go to heaven. And what's a simple term for righteousness? A simple explanation for what righteousness means. Simply means doing what is right. And what is right? Only God and God's word. It's simple. A righteous person simply does what's right in God's eyes. That's what I hope. What greater thing could you have on your tombstone than "Here lays a righteous man"? Correct? So blessings do come to the righteous. Do you think we could limit the blessings? If God wants to bless you, do you think you can limit him? Give you another story then. 2 Kings chapter 4, starting at verse 1. "The wife of a man from the company of prophets cried out to Elijah, 'Your servant, my husband, is dead, and that you know he revered the Lord. But now his creditor is coming to take my boys as his slave.' Elijah replied, "How can I help you? Tell me what you have in your house." "Your servant has nothing at all," she said, "except a small jar of olive oil." Elijah said, "Go and ask all your neighbors for empty jars. Don't ask for a few." Did he spell that out? Don't ask for a few. "Then go inside, shut the door behind you and your sons. Pour oil into the jars. As each is filled, put it to one side." She left him and shut the door behind her and her sons. They brought the jars to her, and she kept pouring. When all the jars were full, she said to her son, "Bring me another one." But he replied, "There is not a jar left." Then the oil stopped flowing. How many jars do you think they brought? 15? 20? 25? If they brought 30, do you think it would have filled it? If they'd have brought 50, do you think they would have filled it? We can limit God by putting limits on ourselves. There's no limits in us in God. Right? "Well, God, I can't do that. God, I shouldn't ask for that. Lord, I know I need a car, so I'm going to pray for a good used car, maybe, you know, something around $1,200. Why not pray, "God, I have a need here. I need a car. You bless me with what you want." Is there a shame in asking for that? Sometimes we think it's a sin to ask God for something. He loves us. When your kids ask you for something, what do? Kick them, "Get away from me, you sinner." Do I do that, Carol? No. It depends what they ask for. But don't limit God. Don't limit what God can do in your life. He can pour out. Everybody in here could stand up and give a story on story of how we've been blessed. Don't put limits on God, even in your blessings. Blessings are received by those that are humble and contrite. God loves humble people. He says he opposes the proud. Over and over we hear that. God does not like someone that has a prideful spirit. It's that humble and contrite spirit. Those are the people that he can use. The people that are going to give him the glory, not take the glory for stuff they didn't do anyway. For he does it all. Psalm 147, verse 6. "The Lord sustains the humble, but cast the wicked to the ground." The Lord sustains. Another word for blessing. Sustain means something that he does for you, something he gives you. That's a blessing. Everything that we have is a blessing, because everything we have comes from him. Who here earned anything that God didn't give them? Who here has anything that God didn't give them? Everything comes from him. In Isaiah 66, verse 2, "Has not my hand made all things so they came into being, declares the Lord. These are the ones I look on with favor, for those who are humble and contrite in spirit and tremble at my word." I look on them with favor. I would love to God to look on me with favor, wouldn't you? Amen? But that's the type of person that gets blessed, not a proud person. The true blessings. Because we see from that little story that I just read here, prosperity is not always a sign of a blessing. Just because somebody is profitable or seem to be doing well does not mean they are blessed. We're not talking about material things. God blesses us with material things. But you see in the case of the rich man, what good did it do him? In Psalm 73, verse 2 and 4, "But for me, my foot almost slipped. I had nearly lost my foothold, for I envied the arrogant and saw the prosperity of the wicked. They have no struggles. Their bodies are healthy and strong." Envied the arrogant. First word there, envied. Does that come from God? Does envy come from God? Envied them, their prosperity. From the little story we read of Lazarus and the rich man there, what did they really envy? Going to hell? For just a momentary blessing here? In Job 21:13, they spend their years in prosperity and go down to the grave in peace. That rich man went to his grave in peace. But there was no peace afterwards, was there? Some don't even get that. Do not even go down to the grave in peace. We heard not too long ago, Robin Williams, very famous man, had everything the world had to offer. He was rich. He was prosperous. Everybody loved the guy. There was no place he couldn't go that probably people didn't just fawn over him. Oh, mister, here, sit here. You know, he could get a table in any restaurant, any place he wanted, right? He had what the world thought was everything. But was there any peace there? Sometimes we don't have to lose that peace by going to the grave. We never have it. And we never, ever have it from getting things that the world has to offer. I'm sure we've all said this, and I'm guilty of it too. If I could only pay off this bill, only if I had my car paid off, if I had my house paid off, everything would be fine. Getting your house paid off, your car is great things, but that's not what's going to make life good. What makes life good is what Pastor John's been talking about all year, getting closer to God, knowing what God wants of you, not what you want of yourself, but what God wants. Also, God tells us not to use the blessings that he has given us to try and impress other people. In Philippians 2:3, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others over yourself. What did Jesus say? He came to be a servant. What greater gift is there than to be a servant? In Proverbs 22:4, humility is the fear of the Lord. Its wages are riches and honor and life. That last part, life. Life everlasting. You know, we're all going to have life everlasting. It's just where. You've seen the two choices very plain there. Heaven or hell. No door three, no curtain C. Heaven or hell. That's our only choices. If it's the great things we have here that get us there, that rich man should have been in heaven, not Lazarus. It was his attitude. It wasn't the fact that he was rich was the problem. It was what was in his heart that got him there. He wasn't there. He wasn't in hell because he was rich. Just think of the story. What's he start off by doing? Telling Abraham, send Lazarus to my brothers. Here he is. They're both dead, and he's still ordering the guy around. You know, I'm so much better. Send Lazarus to do this for me. Send Lazarus to see my brothers. Well, imagine how he was when he was alive to Lazarus. But you notice it says Lazarus laid by his gate. He could have laid it. This guy was cheap, probably cheaper than I am, and I'm cheap. Why did he do that? He probably didn't get much in the way of scraps, did he? Why did he lay there? I do not doubt, it doesn't say, but I do not doubt that God put him there. That was where God wanted him to witness to him, to see what a humble and contrite spirit was. He could have done a lot better off at the main gate or anywhere, couldn't he have? But yet it seems that he honored God in what he did. He laid at that gate where he got nothing but humiliation. You know, in this world, and I hope we're not this way, but the world will treat people they think have money better and different. If you walk in someplace with an old pair of torn jeans, well, now torn jeans cost $300, but an old set of clothes or something, your hair not combed, you know, it's hard to get service. The same person, shave, comb their hair, throw a little aftershave on here or there, put on a pair of nice suit or something, you walk into some place, people treat you different. Why? Because that's what the world values, what they see, not what they can feel, but what they see. We should not be that way. It's what's inside that makes the difference, as we've seen from this story, right? He didn't take any of those fine purple clothes with him. I'll find out where he left them. I could have a nice purple suit. Would be nice. Now, here's an important point. Don't let blessings make you forget God. This rich man probably never thought of God. Why should he? He don't need him. He had everything he needed, didn't he? You know, the pastors have always said this, that when they worry the most is when things are going good in your lives, in our lives. When you're hurting, you ain't going nowhere. You're going to be drawn in closer to God. Help me, Lord. Oh, help me. It's when things go good, when things start getting real good, you're no longer having any problems. It does not seem to be any trials or tribulation. That scares these guys to death. Because that's when we're easily slain. We're weak. Admit it, we are weak, aren't we? In Deuteronomy chapter 8, I'd like to read three verses out of Deuteronomy here in chapter 8, starting with 11. Be careful you do not forget the Lord your God, failing to observe his commandments, his laws, and the decrees that I give you this day. 14. Then your heart will become proud, and you will forget the Lord your God, who brought you out of Egypt and out of slavery. We've been brought out of Egypt, out of the world, out of slavery, slave to our sins. If you ever forget the Lord your God and follow other gods and worship and bow down to them, I testify against you today that you will surely be destroyed. Woo! What does he mean by destroyed? Destroyed. Well, we live forever. How can we be destroyed? Destroyed is being apart from God. Hell is what we're talking about. Being out of God's presence. There's nothing worse than that. And I hope we never find out, right? We've seen so many, the pastors will say this, have said it many times, we see so many people come in here hurting. And this is where you're supposed to be when you're hurting. Open the door. That's the people that are supposed to come here, those that are hurting. Why? Because the answers are here in God. They get their lives turned around. Marriages restored. Financial blessings. Children put in order. I could just go on and on. People have come here with nothing. Less than nothing. Sammy had one pair of slippers when he came here. He had one shoe. One pair of shorts and only one shoe. He couldn't afford two. And miraculously, in months, we see their lives turned around. They start serving the Lord, which is all they had to do to begin with. And these blessings start coming out, start getting poured out. God's promises are real. He promised you something. If you'll do this, if you do this, he'll give you that. But what do they do? Well, I don't need God now. They may not come right out and say it, but that's what they're saying. Pretty soon you don't see them one Sunday. Well, where were you? Well, God blessed me with a new boat. And, you know, I know he'd want me to be out on it. You know, a couple of the people I passed by, I said, God bless you. So I was evangelizing. Pretty soon two Sundays turn into three. Four into five. They're no longer here. We don't see, we don't hear from them. Sometimes never again. But the times we do, we've had people come back a year later, 2 years later, worse shape than when they come here to begin with. They've lost everything. Why? Because everything they had, God gave them. They walked away from God. You can walk away from your blessings, but God will never walk away from you. He wants to bless us. John spoke a couple weeks ago on God's promises. There was one thing he said, well, he said a lot that I enjoyed. But one thing kind of stuck with me, that God's promises are all conditional. God's blessings are the same way. He just doesn't say, I'm going to bless you. Anthony, you go do anything you want, anywhere you want, anytime you want, and I'm still going to bless you. Show me that in the Word. I'd love to see that, but it's not there. There's a condition for all promises and all blessings. But you know the wonderful thing about it? Sometimes the conditions are better than the blessing. If we walk out what the condition is, half the time we don't even need the blessing after that. We're walking in righteousness. We're walking in God's Word. We're blessed already. Another thing that keeps us away from blessings is a hard heart. We all know people like that. Nancy always kids me, asks how my neighbor is the grumpy old man, she calls him. Do you know why? Because he's a grumpy old man. This guy, his heart is so hard, he hates everything, including himself, right? He complains, but he found a $100 bill laying on the street. Do you know that bill, how dirty it was? I couldn't believe how nasty and dirty that was. He complains about everything. He's hardened his heart to everything. He expects the worst. When something good happens, all he does is say, oh, I know it's all going to fall apart. I hate to see this even come. Always expects the worst. And you know what? He always gets the worst too, doesn't he? Everything happens to that poor guy. In Zechariah 7, verse 12 says, they made their hearts hard as flint and would not listen to the law or the words of the God, Lord Almighty, and sent by his Spirit through the earlier prophets. So the Lord Almighty was very angry. Who here wants to make God mad? Do you remember, some of you might be old enough, remember that old commercial? It was a butter commercial, I think. You don't want to make Mother Nature mad. You remember that, Sarge? Don't mess with Mother Nature. Yeah, she gets all mad. Lightning and bolts are going. And, you know, that's what I'm thinking about. Wow, we're hardening our hearts, and that makes God mad. He can't use a hard heart. A hard heart will choke us out, choke the life out of us. I think it was a great analogy when Pastor John spoke about his father, the condition that he had where the outside of his heart was getting real hard and leathery from a disease. And what did they tell him? It was going to choke the life out of him physically. Well, I'm talking about a spiritual hard heart, and that's going to choke the life out of you, the life that counts. Don't harden our hearts. He's always worried in Matthew 13:15. For his people's heart had become calloused. They could hardly hear with their ears, and they have closed their eyes. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes and hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and turn, and I would heal them. They're not getting healed because of their hard heart. Well, God, I know I have a problem. I have an ailment. I know you can heal me, but I don't think you will. Could you pray for me? No, what? You've already asked for your blessing there, haven't you? I know you can, but I don't think you will. How many of us come to God with that thought when we come up for prayer? Well, I know he can heal me, but I really don't think he will. What hardens our heart? Usually it's when we're going through a trial, isn't it? Now, how many people here have never went through a trial? You know, that's one of, I think John said that a couple weeks ago. That's one of God's promises. What's he promise? Hard times, trials and tribulation. That's a promise. But those are the good times for us. Those are the times that we're tested. Not the times, he's not doing that to harden your heart. He wants you to see what your heart is made out of when you're going through that trial. In the service, many people, you don't know if you're going to run or fight until you're in the middle of a battle. If you know, that's what the word battle tested comes from, right, Sarge? If a man has not been battle tested, I don't care what training he's had, how big, mean, bad he looks, you never know. Like Peter, I'll never leave you, I'll never forsake you. When they started nailing him to the cross, ooh, I'm out of here. Jesus knew that, didn't he? We need to see where our heart is. That's why we're going through these trials. Hardening your heart is the wrong thing to do. God cannot bless that. That's why sometimes it leads to a little bit of pain. We have to have pain before we have a blessing. Ladies, childbirth, is that painful? I see a lot of heads. Nobody's saying anything, but I know nothing about it and don't want to. There's more pain than I can handle. I cry with a toothache. But yet you go through that pain. Why? Because of the joy set before you. The blessing that's to come, which is your children. That's a blessing from God, that you endure that pain, knowing that there is a blessing coming. So pain is not always bad when it brings a blessing. It brings a change. All change is painful. Anything good, there's a little bit of pain involved in it. If not, it's not worth it. Is it? I'm going to finish up here. As Eddie spoke last week, or the week before, I'm sorry, he mentioned this same story, and I liked it. I thought I would use it today. In Luke 12, 16 through 21. And then he said this parable: the ground of a certain rich man yields an abundant harvest. He thought to himself, what should I do? I have no place to store my crops. Then he said, this is what I'll do. I'll tear down my barns and build bigger ones. And there I will store my surplus grain. And I will say to myself, you have plenty of grain laid up for many years. Take life easy. Eat, drink, and be merry. Did you know that's where that eat, drink, and be merry? That's biblical. Shakespeare didn't say that. Word of God said that. Eat, drink, and be merry. That's like those bumper stickers on the back of the cars. The one who dies with the most toys win. You ain't taking that Corvette with you, baby. Somebody's going to take that Corvette and put you in the ground. But God said to him, and this is a quote too, that we, you fool. Mr. T stole that out of the Word of God too. You fool. This very night, your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you prepared for yourself? This is how it will be for whoever stores up things for themselves, but is not rich towards God. At the end of the day, as this story tells us, could I have the prayer team come up, please? As this story tells us, at the end of the day, we're going to take nothing with us. Remember, I asked a question. Which blessing was better for Wendy, the physical or the spiritual? Which was going to last? And what did everybody say? Spiritual, right? We don't take our husbands or wives with us. Her children are going to make it to heaven, not because of her. They're on their own recognition. We take nothing. There is no blessing we get here that we take with us except one. And that's the greatest blessing of them all, and the only one that we need. And that's our Savior, Jesus Christ. And there's a condition with that. Even that is not unconditional, is it? To receive salvation, we have to give Him our life. And like I've said many times, I cheated Him. I give Him a pitiful life. Right? That He loved us enough that He sent His Son to die for us. And that's the only blessing that's going to last through eternity, is where we're going to go. Two choices, heaven or hell. What a true blessing is being with God forever. That's what I want. This cheap suit will rot. The car I have out there will die. My house will wither away. I'll wither away. Everybody that ever received a healing is going to die one day. It's what happens afterwards that makes the difference. And I pray that if there's anyone here today that cannot truly say that they expect to be there with Abraham, to be with Jesus Christ in heaven, if they died this night, to please come up and we will pray with you. The prayer team here will pray. Amen? Amen. Let's bow our heads. Thank you, Lord. Father, we thank you for that gift, Father God, that, Lord, you loved us enough that you sent your Son to die for us, Father God. Lord, that is the only blessing, Father God. If we receive no other blessing the rest of our life, almost like that beggar did, Father God, we are still the most blessed people in the world, Father. Father, I pray for those that do not know your name today, Father God, that, Lord, they bow their knee. Father, we ask this in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.